Good morning and welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with my co-host, Michael Bowen. And today, a very, very special day here on set. We got Brian Chambers, the infamous Brian Chambers, in the room, on the set, talking to us today. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Coach. I'll call him Coach. He's always been my coach and always will be. And then you might hear me refer to Michael as Bowen. I thought I've known him since 7th grade and 8th grade when we met.
Yes, Brian and I have known each other a long time. Brian was best man at my wedding, just played football together, been to school together, had a lot of experiences together.
That was, I think, the last time I clean shaved was for your wedding.
I really did. I believe that.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun today. This is one to put in the memoirs for me.
Or delete.
Yeah, one of the two. So we'll let Larry make that call. So let's dive right in. So Brian is football coach now at Cookeville High School, wide receiver coach. He's been at Upperman High School. Matter of fact, came back to Putnam County when I coached down at Upperman High School. Brian was actually the first coach that I hired when I got that job, and he was my wide receiver coach. And
how many people turned you down before you got to him?
Hey, I didn't give him a chance. He was the first. As soon as I walked out of Jerry Boyd's office, and that's the truth, Brian,
that
I called
is,
him and I
is.
Said, hey, I got a job for you. And he goes, let me see what I can do. Called me right back and said, I'm in. That was it. And we brought him down there. Also, actually brought Michael down.
Yes.
And he wasn't an educator by trade, but we knew he had a love for football and brought him down to coach some defensive backs with his knowledge of offense. And him and Brian kind of worked on the receivers together. So we had a good time there. And I'm just glad to have you guys together in the studio. This should be a lot of fun. So, Brian, tell everybody, just to start us off a little bit, what you're doing now.
Well, I was down in Baxter for years. I think after you hired me, there were several coaching changes, and I was down there for a long time. And I think the only coach down in Baxter that was there longer with me at Upperman football was Frank Harold, who passed away recently,
yeah.
The infamous Frank Harold. Great, great individual, fine man. And now I got the opportunity to change schools. I needed a change, and I went over to Allgood Middle School where – Bubba Winningham's the principal. I've known him his whole life. Ben Heron, who's one of the coaches I had, he's principal. And Jessica Etheridge, there are three principals over there. It's just a great situation. It's only 8 minutes from my house, and it was just a good opportunity for me to move over there. And now I'm back over at Cookeville with Coach Jimmy Maynard coaching again. This is my second time with Coach Maynard at Cookeville.
We talked about, of course, you know, I work in the school system too, and we talked about that move. You had the opportunity to make a change, and you said right now you live real close to your house, and so it really alleviated the need for travel. I know from talking to you from time to time you were very happy working down Upperman Middle School. That had to be a tough choice.
It was. I was down there for a very long time. I got the opportunity to move, change schools, and we got a brand new facility down there. It was awesome. It was the first time I'd had a window in forever. And I started down there with Billy Stepp, who's now at the principal at the high school. And his assistant principal at the time was Shannon Pirtle, and then Shannon Pirtle became the head principal. And I was real nervous about making the change because I had it really, really good down there. The people I worked with, the community, the administration, the kids, it was a really good situation. So I was really nervous about making the change because I had it made down there. And it's actually, I really do miss it, miss a lot of the people. Like if I could bring some of the people with me over to Allgood, it would be even more of a perfect situation than what it is, and it's been a really good change, and I miss it down there, but I was glad I made the switch because it's been really good.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and you know, continuing the ability to get back to Cookeville High School with Coach Maynard and coach out there again has got to be special. Your wife actually works at Cookeville High School, so that helped. And tell us a little bit about the additions that you have to your family.
My oldest boy, Gray, he's going to be 5 this June. He'll be starting kindergarten next fall, and actually he'll be riding with me to school every day for the next 9 years,
wow.
8 years, 9 years. And then we just had a baby boy, Cohen. He's about to be 6 months, and this morning when Emily was getting him dressed, she put on a pair of pants on him that Gray didn't wear till he was 1 and a half. So I'm worried we're not going to be able to keep food and milk in the house for that one. He's a hoss.
I'm going to give you a chance before I forget it real quick, but behind every great coach is a great wife, so you want to give a little shout out to
your
beautiful wife?
My beautiful wife, Emily. We actually, when we met, a girl I worked with, they coached basketball together and set us up, and she actually ended up becoming the cheerleading coach when I first got on over at Cookeville. So that was a fun situation because we got to go to all the games together, and that was a really special time. But she's definitely the woman behind me that keeps me straight and keeps me going and keeps me in line for sure. Absolutely. And she, without her, there's no way our family would be able to work, run. She's everything.
Today we're talking to Brian Chambers, wide receiver coach at Cookeville High School. So, Brian, one more thing. We'll turn it over to Michael a little bit. You know, the time that you had together and playing, you went to Cookeville High School. You played football there. We had your dad in, actually, a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about him being head football coach and kind of turning that program around over there. And it just so happened you guys were on those teams that we were, and so was I, actually, coaching for Ron Chambers. So let's flash forward a little bit, and let's start talking about your playing days at Cookeville High School.
You want to go first, Mike? We know how this conversation is going to go. All right. First of all, my dad was the head coach. My twin brother was the quarterback, and I still couldn't get the ball. And Coach Brooks was my offensive coordinator, and I still couldn't get the ball thrown to me. It was like, as Michael's about to say in a second, when I caught the ball, it was first and 10. When I caught the ball, it was second and 6. So
I think I said second and 8.
Second and 8.
Now, that, you know, that's not all true.
But
that's
not. I knew my role. All right. I knew my role. I won a touchdown ball. Michael was our guy. He was going to break him. He was going to catch the deep ball and stuff. And we had a lot of fun. And one thing that, you know, it's kind of cliche. You hear all your coaches talk about it. You know, the guys you play high school football with, you remain friends with throughout your whole life. And that's been one thing me and Michael have always been friends. And I think football had a great deal to do with that.
Well, absolutely. And then, you know, we were actually friends before we got to football. We met in junior high, at the old junior high, when it was 7th through 9th, and that was quite an experience in itself. But I can still remember Brian riding the bus home with me first time, and I think he was actually riding the bus home with me to maybe go see a little girl in the neighborhood. There's a girl involved in the neighborhood. He didn't care anything about coming home with me. But he got to my house, and my mom had made a big thing of Rice Krispie treats. And Brian sat there and plowed through that entire pan, and we never even left the house, and we're friends ever since. So it worked out.
I was used to only being allowed one, and his mom said, Barbara said, I could have as many as I wanted.
There you go.
I said, are you sure? And then I did.
You usually have to fight for food in your house. Right. Anyway.
But fast forwarding, Brian and I, you know, went to junior high together, played ball in junior high together, and then Brian, Adam, his brother, we got to start out in high school together. And we talked a little bit about this with your dad. Starting out as sophomores through our senior year and kind of going through, a down season, a 1-9 season. And I spoke a little bit about, you know, how that impacted us and the learning there and some of the players. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Looking back on you hear as a coach, you know, in the long run, it's good if you play sophomores, but those years you're playing freshmen and sophomores, you take some lumps and you take some losses, you know, but it matures them along. So if you, as a coach, if you can get through those years, and that sophomore year of ours, we were all playing, everyone was playing, and that was good for us in the end, you know, because we had several good, you know, we had a good senior year, but it was rough because we were relying on a bunch of inexperienced sophomores going against seniors and juniors at these big schools that we were at. But as a coach, you know, it's rough, you know, it's a special kid that starts like that at a young age like that.
Let me set you up here a little bit, Michael. And, you know, you guys coming into 10th grade, very successful season, 9-0 over at Cookeville Junior High. I watched several of your games, you know, was with Coach Chambers, of course, watching Adam and Brian and you guys play. I could tell very quickly, you know, usually junior highs don't throw the ball around a whole lot, and you guys did throw some. So, as a coach, you want to make sure that you put your team in a great position to have the opportunity to win. And I knew as an offensive coordinator with you guys coming in, it was going to be not necessarily more of a throwing offense, but a team that relied on the throw for big plays. And so coming into 10th grade, you know, I got you guys in there and we started working out and we talked about we needed to work more because we knew you were going to have to play.
Yep.
That sophomore year. So we introduced, and I can probably say this now, but it was probably legal then, but we started practicing the throwing offense at 5 in the morning, if you guys remember that.
We do. You know, and I do want to just call out a few names. You know, that sophomore year, we did have some good seniors, some guys that we looked up to. Jerry Hayes somebody that was a great ball player and real good mentor to us, TJ Overstreet, Frank Madewell, Phil Vick to an extent, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, John Davidson, some of those guys. So, you know, those guys really cared about it. I touched on this story with Ron. You know, they wrote 1-9 on their towel before our last game. They wanted that one win. So, you know, definitely want to call those guys out.
Michael, you talk not a finer group of men.
Sure.
You know, and to win football games at the high school level, you got to have talent. And, you know, not sure what led up to that situation, but we did have a very senior-heavy team the year before. That was a very good football team. And then we roll into that next year, and we just didn't have – they were great leaders. The names that you reeled off right there were good football players and great leaders, but then behind them, we had a lot of younger guys.
Yep, that's right. And so then we go into our junior year. You know, we carry a lot of momentum forward, went 3-7 that year. You know,
all new region, wasn't it? Yeah, that's when we went to Chattanooga region our junior year.
That's right. And, you know, felt like we had a lot of momentum going. That's when the offense really started – kind of taking off right there. You know, we were really starting to put up some yards, and you know, we were just having a great time. I mean, just all us guys. You know, Seth Hudson, me, you,
Lacey Williford, got a good crew. It was Jeff Green, John Bowles. I mean, then you had Michael Harris, Brandon Davidson,
Matt Davidson. He came on our senior year. Matt Davidson. We had Robbie League that junior year.
Poppy Giss that junior year.
Absolutely. So
Philip Charles. Yes. Finally moved into running back that after the before the Gallatin game.
So then we kind of, you know, fast forward our senior year, which we'll touch on here in a little bit. But, you know, we carried that momentum from our junior year, you know, went 3-7, first year at the new high school. First year at the new field.
Right.
And so I can still remember how special that was to come out on a field of our own, you know, that was just for Cookeville High School. That meant a lot. I believe that was a Crossville game that first year.
Yep.
We're talking to Brian Chambers, football coach at Cookeville High School. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Good morning, Upper Cumberland, and welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with Michael Bowen, and our special guest in the studio today, Brian Chambers, wide receiver coach at Cookeville High School.
So let's talk a little bit more about our senior year, Brian. So we come into that season with a lot of momentum, and you've touched on some of the guys and you know, a great kind of senior class coming up there and a really strong junior and sophomore class behind us there. So we started having some success. Had to be a great experience for both you and Adam playing for your dad and having that success our senior year.
It was. I mean, it was one of the times where, you know, we got to spend a lot of time with each other, whereas, you know how high school it is. You just come and go. But during football season, we got to spend because, you know, daddy wasn't going to cook. So we went out to eat after every practice, and he always took somewhere good. And so we got to spend and bond and fellowship during that time. And that was experience. But, you know, dad was my head coach. But, you know, Sam was always the coach. Dad never had to say a word to me. Brooks was always the one yelling at me, you know. So, you know, and we still laugh and talk about it and have good stories. But going into that senior year, I still remember, you know, two-a-days. You know, I don't think kids have two-a-days anymore. You know, I don't think Coach knows this, but, you know, we'd go practice from 8 to 10 in the morning, and we'd go swimming until 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I knew.
And we have 3 to 5 o'clock practice. You know, so we had a lot of fun, and, you know.
It was nice to have that energy now, wouldn't it?
Oh, gosh. But then it was like, there was just a lot of excitement going on because we improved 1-9, 3-7, and then here we go. And we had a very close game that first one, I remember, against Warren County. Mm-hmm. Luke Wilkin great arm, great quarterback. He was a year behind us, strong junior class behind us, and we
Adam was hurt.
Adam was hurt, and we ended up pulling that one out and beating them. So we started out, here we go, 1-0, and it was a tough game against them. And then after that, we just started reeling off some wins. Yep.
And so we went 7-3, first team Cookeville High School to go to the playoffs, and that was just a really special season. Anything else you take away from that season? I mean, I know it's probably been something you've thought about your whole life. You know, I always tell people, you know, how much high school football and your time in high school kind of shapes the rest of your life.
It was, I think, one of the biggest memories of that year was the Thursday night game, our last regular season game against Bradley Central. They were the number one team in our region. They moved the game to Thursday. I forget whatever reason. We're like, okay, that's fine. Game of the week. And we go down there. So all these coaches and other teams were there. And I just remember it taking forever for the game to get started. They were taking forever. And I remember standing there next to Seth Hudson, my buddy. And we were all gassed up, ready to play. And I remember Seth just looking at me like they have no idea what's about to happen. You know, they're number one. And we had to win to get to playoffs. And we were like, they're the number one team in our region. And that was just an awesome experience, that game. That was the one that sticks out in my head, because we went down there, we scored, they scored, and then it was over with. We just kept scoring points, and it was just one of the funnest games I've ever played in. It was exciting. We came back, and remember Dave Storm, a good friend of ours. We graduated with his daughter, Melissa. They had came back, and they'd made big signs and put them on the field house when we got back. Congratulations, first time playoffs and all that stuff. So that was really cool coming back home and being a part of that. That was a really good experience.
And high school football presents, you know, opportunities for kids. I hate nowadays that some of them aren't getting a chance. There's so many things that these kids can do out there today. But what separates you guys and that team from some of the others that I dealt with is the camaraderie. And you guys actually like being around each other. And there's no big egos on the team besides Adam, your brother. but there was no big egos on the team, and you guys did just about everything together.
Yeah, I can remember looking forward to going to practice. And, you know, we just had such a great group of guys, you know, can't name them all, but just had a great time. You know, these guys are guys we still run around. Brian was in my wedding. You know, I mean, we've known each other our whole lives, and that doesn't just go for Brian. Seth, I see him every weekend. I mean,
you talk about offense, you know, that we were kind of not like a lot of other teams around. We were kind of throwing the ball all around a little bit at that time. And a situation, you look at the spread offenses that exist today, we were kind of doing that at that time. And, you know, it all goes back to Coach Gerald Brown at Tennessee Tech and then Steve Spurrier, you know, what they were doing down with the Gators. And then so we formed that offense based on the players that we had at that time, which was you guys. You know, talk a little bit about how fun that was to be a part of that, Brian.
Just, I mean, of course, you know, being a wide receiver, you want to play for someone who wants to throw the ball. And the thing I took from it, you know, there was Gerald Brown, who was your wide receiver coach at Deck. And then a lot of stuff I remember was when you brought his brother, was a wide receiver coach, Kippy Brown at UT, and you would bring those films down. Mm-hmm. And just watching those college players do those drills that you had us do, we're like, well, we're doing the same stuff UT does. And then Coach Brown, Kippy Brown, he went on in the pros and stuff like that. And a lot of the stuff that I still incorporate, my drills, you still see. I mean, it doesn't change. You know, they might tweak stuff here and there, but that same basic stuff that Coach Kippy Brown did, they still do to this day, and drills and stuff like that to pass on. And it was just fun to be a part of a throwing offense like that.
We're talking to Brian Chambers, football coach from Cookeville High School.
So, Brian, you have a great high school career, and that presented some opportunities for you to go to college and play college football as well. So can you talk to us a little bit about your college experience?
Well, you know, me and my older brother, we always joke about it. We both played at Maribel College, and we always laugh, and I would always cut up with Jerry Boyd about it. And talk about, you know, I know you played college football at Tech, I said, but I also played semi-college football at Maribel College. You know, I was fortunate enough, I got to go there. I played 2 years there, and it was a Division III school, and it was an awesome place. Of course, my family's from there, so I got to be around a lot of my family and enjoyed that time there. And it's just, I mean, it was just one of those things where a lot of stuff I learned in high school, you know, you're fortunate if you have a good coach in high school. It makes things easier for you in college, but college, you know, Bone will attest to this, is a whole different ball game in high school. It's more of a job, you know, because there's film, practice, more film, practice. You know, it's not like, you know, we're going to practice for a couple hours and we go home, you know, and you watch film on your own or whatever. But, you know, college was a whole different animal. But I was fortunate to be able to play 2 years, and then I came back and finished up my degree at Tech and everything like that. And I wouldn't change anything for the world. I'd love to go back in. I still go and take in games and still have several friends that I played with up there.
So, Brian, we talked to your dad a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I finally got my opportunity to face-to-face just thank him, you know, for what he meant to my life. I probably should have done that long before now and did it in some other ways, but just having him in here and looking him in the eye and telling him that, you know, really meant a lot to me. So that takes me to the point, you're in a position, you know, with players that you work with to be able to, you know, really make a difference in their life as a football coach and in your particular situation as their receiver coach. Tell me what that means to you.
You know, it's at the end of the night, you want to win ball games. You know, you want to win ball games, but, you know, a lot of these kids, they're not going to play at the next level. So hopefully as a coach, you know, and I'm just getting back started again. You know, I was down at Baxter for years. And so coming in, you know, I'd already had established those relationships with those kids because I had a lot of them in class and then I had them in high school. So I'd have a lot of kids for 5 years, you know, and I'd see them throughout the year. So I'm just getting started over at Cookeville and starting to get to know these kids a little better. And I hope to develop those relationships like I have down at Baxter, at Upperman in Cookeville. I hope to do that because I'm from there. I played there. Love Coach Maynard. He's been great. And hopefully the kids will take something other than, all right, how to run a route, how to catch his pass, whatever that, you know, hey, I want to be a better man, better person, you know, from being around me as a coach.
Yeah, and the great thing about high school football, especially in football as a sport, is it's so inclusive. It's such a big team, you know. And you know, if you come out for football, you can find a place on that football field. You can find a place on the team. You know, you've got offense, defense, you got special teams, you know, but you can have 100 kids out there, and so you have the opportunity to influence just so many kids that, you know, maybe in another sport, you know, it's just smaller numbers. You wouldn't have the opportunity. You're talking to a large group. So, you know, I'm sure that appeals to you.
And another thing is, like I touched on it at our football banquet this year, you know, I got to give out an award to one of our offensive linemen, and I tried to explain it to him. You know, I tried to venture over to other positions, you know, at a 3A school, 2A school, single A school. It's easy to mingle with, you know, 40, you know, 50 kids, whatever. When you're talking 80, 100 kids, you know, it's hard to get to know all of them like you would like to. And so I try and make it a point to go and see different groups with kickers, D-line. You know, sometimes some kids just play one way. They don't play both offense and defense at 6A football. So that's one of the things I try and do.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Brian Chambers. Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with Michael Bowen. Today we got Brian Chambers in studio, and we're just going to continue the conversation in football, of course, and take it away.
So, Brian, this has been a very unique year, a lot of challenges in all walks of life. Talk to us a little about the challenges on the football field, how it's impacted the program, what adjustments you all have had to make.
You know, we didn't know what to expect when we were coming into summer workouts. I mean, this pandemic really just got started, but we had all these protocols and stuff we had to take care of and go over. And, you know, we'd come in Monday, Wednesday, Thursday for morning workouts from 8 to about 11 or 12. We'd work out. We had a rotation, and then we'd throw at the end. But the thing about it is they'd come in separately. They were spaced out so many feet apart. Every coach had a certain group spaced out all around the track. We had to take temperatures. Everybody still social distancing, doing our stretch, and then we had it all spread out over there, and so we could maintain that distance. The boys, we couldn't even provide water for them. They had to bring their own. You know, if they brought their jug, we let them fill it up, but they had to bring it home because we couldn't have them sharing water bottles. So, and here we were thinking, we don't know if we're even going to have a season here. You know, so, but we're still having to prepare if we do. So we were surprised we get one game in. Okay, good. Two game. Okay, you know, a couple kids, test positive, or a coach, or somebody, and then we're thinking they're going to shut us down, or this team's going to shut down. And we actually got to play. You know, all 10 of our, well, 9 of our games, we had one cancellation due to COVID, and then we still got to play a playoff game. So we had a full season in. So we were very fortunate, very blessed to get that confidence and not even thinking we were going to get a season this year.
I think we talked about this a little bit in one of our previous interviews about the responsibilities of a college player, but high school players had a lot of responsibility on them this year to, you know, ensure they were being responsible. They were having to maintain more discipline. You know, it's already a situation where you have to be disciplined to be a high school athlete like that. But, you know, this year especially, you know, something happens, you lose your ability to have the season.
And, you know, and you have some kids that want to go on to the next level, something like that, where they're not even, you know, around the situation, could have shut them down where they couldn't perform for their senior year, and that could have cost them, you know, scholarship, you know, possible playing at the next level or whatever. So, yeah, it was very, you know, edgy sometimes. You know, as coaches, we just kind of had to just kind of be relaxed and not be so tense around the players so they could see that, hey, it's going to be okay. If something happens, it happens, but let's do things right, and let's try and being careful and prevent what we can prevent.
How did you mitigate that, Brian, with the team? I mean, these are a lot of – I mean, it's hard enough to play college football at the level – or high school football at the level that you guys are playing at anyway, and then to have all these precautions. And then it seems to me that with all that you said, you're spreading out the cohesiveness of the team. I guess the good thing about that is every team had to do it. So it was a factor for everybody, but it seems like you couldn't be as close-knit like you guys were when you played. You couldn't be as close-knit in that particular situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, you know, especially at first. You know, we had to spread them out and then only have this group down here working this group down on that end doing this. But then once the season got going, we were a little bit closer together because they started relaxing the restrictions a little bit on us. But yeah, I mean, you know, we were always goofing off and stuff whenever it was break time, whenever we were in high school and stuff. And so that, all that bonding stuff kind of separated, and only a few were allowed in the locker room at a time. So they missed that time in the locker room where you're in there cutting up and having a big time and just not worrying about it, you know, making fun of your coach, you know, this and that, you know,
that's right.
You know? So, I mean, it was different, but these kids responded really well.
We've got Brian Chambers in the house, wide receiver coach at Cookeville High School. And, Brian, we're continuing the conversation on COVID and how it's affected these kids. But there are some bright spots along the way, too. Guess had a fairly good season, probably not as a good of a season as you want. But, you know, having players make it to that next level is very important to a program, especially when you have talented kids. And you had a quarterback this year, Stockton Owen, that was able to sign at Brown, I believe.
You can talk. He's going to, you know, Stockton Owen's really hard to replace. I mean, he was a leader on the field, great kid, great arm, fast. I mean, one of the best runs I've ever seen, both playing, coaching all these years at Riverdale. He ran, I bet, 400 yards and scored a touchdown on a 100-yard field. I mean, it was amazing. And yeah, he was fortunate enough. We were able to get through the season. We had a couple of people. He's signing with Brown, I believe. And we had the Delta Twins, two offensive linemen. They both signed with Tech. They had to come over. One of them had to overcome a little bit of an injury and doing fine. And I think because they were able to finish the season and play a full season, and, you know, open up opportunities for a lot of them. And of course, Stockton was already getting looked at. So we're excited and proud for them guys.
You know, another player I want to call out, I played with his dad in college, is B.J. Billen, unfortunately injured in the first game of the season this year, but certainly a young man with a lot of potential, and you know, hopefully he's going to land somewhere as well.
That was a shot to the gut, first game of the season. I mean, I think he takes the kickoff back midfield, almost broke it. A couple plays later, big game, it was like third or fourth, fifth play of the game. I mean, done. I mean, you hate to see that because the kids worked hard. Workhorse, yes or no, sir. You know, I mean, I was only around him from the summer on, but what I saw him, he was a hard worker, fast, quick. I mean, the kind you want to give the ball to and let him go. You know, so we hated to see that, and I hope to see some good things out of him in the future and wish him well, whatever he does, if he gets the opportunity to play or just he just goes on, works, and goes to college, you know.
Yeah, that's always a tough situation when you got a kid with a talent like that and then don't get to realize that their senior year. It makes it hard for the college coaches. You almost have to take a chance
Absolutely.
On a kid like that. But I'm sure there's folks out there that will be willing to do that, especially if he is a yes sir, no sir guy and does what he's supposed to do in the classroom and then off the field. So let's talk a little bit, Brian, about, you know, the importance of, you know, staying with the belief and understanding of your coach this past year. I know Jimmy Maynard well, and I know he had a plan for every day as far as dealing with this. What are some of the things that you guys had to do as a coaching staff? You talked about a few of them already, but this COVID situation has presented such obstacles that we've never seen before. I'm sure you've learned a lot along the way about how to deal with some stuff like this.
We, you know, he had to put us to work, you know, as far as making sure that, hey, keep reminding the kids, keep them away from each other. Don't be drinking after each other. Stay away from each other, you know, social distance, you know. And it's tough because, you know, they leave the field. Who knows what they were going to do, if they're going to be around each other, whatever. We tried to, you know, put it in their heads, you know, listen, guys, if we want to have a season, we got to be careful and we got to maintain social distance and just so that we don't get shut down. You know, this is these seniors' last time to play. And so we kind of try to put it on the whole, hey, think about when you're a senior. You know, that's one of the things we want to do. You know, hey, do it for the guys that are ahead of you because you're going to be there and you want them younger guys to do it for you, you know. So that was one of the things we tried to touch on. But, you know, Coach Maynard did an excellent job. I mean, he's a worker. One thing that he wants to do, he wants his coaches to coach. You know, he does. I mean, I've had to ask, you know, hey, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? You know, he wants his coaches just to coach. He don't want them to. He wants them to coach. He takes care of this. I mean, the list of things he does before a game, home or away, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't see how he's got enough time in the day to do it. So he put us to work, and it's been a task, you know. But Coach Maynard, he's the man when it comes to all that. He took care of a lot of it.
So, Brian, we had your dad in here, and we talked about what an impact he had in the local community here from a football standpoint and just a mentorship standpoint. And, you know, you're in the family business. You know, you've carried that on. What do you love about it? What do you love about teaching and coaching? What is it that drives you?
I think me and Dad always joke about everything. You know, I see myself – me and him are a lot alike. You know, the way our personalities are, we like to laugh, cut up. Coaching, we want to be good people for the young men, but you know, the difference between Dad and me is he calls me the R-rated version of himself. I'm a little different, and he'll tell you that too, so I'm a little bit edgier than he is. But it's been, you know, and he kind of sees himself in me. And then now I've got my youngest son, Cohen, who my wife said, I just started seeing it, she says he looks like me, and I've always looked like Dad. And so we got Emily got Dad to send her a baby picture of him, and they look like they're twins when Dad was 6 months old and him. And so that's kind of been the thing that I'm kind of, you know, hopefully carrying on that, because I see, like, you know, I hate it, but like when I'll go to funerals and I'll see people that had Dad, played for Dad, and they'll talk to me, and then they'll tell me what an impact he had on their life and this and that, and they still call and talk to him, and I'm like, oh yeah, I talked to him on Dad. Just, he don't think it's a big deal, whatever, you know, because he don't brag about it or put himself. He just, that's who he is. That's what it was. And so I hope that I can have some type of legacy like he had and the impact he's had on young men's lives around this area.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. That takes me to my next question, Brian. What do you want your players to leave you knowing and doing? What will stick out in your mind that you want to get across to your players right now at the wide receiver position?
Well, it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, as a coach, you gotta get after them. You know, not so much this past year, because I was kind of feeling out how the staff was doing here at Cookville and everything. So, actually, I got to be a good cop this year, you know. But sometimes, you know, like in the past, whenever I would have to get onto a player or whatever, you know. But now I tell them that now that I have a son, I promise you what I'm doing to you is nothing more than what I give to my son when I have to correct him at home. So hope they understand that it's not, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to teach them discipline. Just like, you know, if a coach, you know, quits getting onto you, then that's a problem. That's when you got to worry. And so I always, you know, hopefully they'll understand that when I'm getting onto them, I'm not being mean. I just expect them to do better and know they can do better. I love on them more than I'm going to get on to them, you know. And so that's one thing. It's just like I love on my little boys more than I get on to them too. But he knows that when I get on to him, it's because I love him. But like I said, you know, when the dads say it hurts me more than it hurts them, they
the end result is that they'll be a successful, you know, person in society, and that, you know, they'll get good jobs, they'll have good families. And, you know, to me, that's what the most important thing in coaching and even teaching, you know, is. And, you know, one more thing, you guys, you know, you went through and played, and you're not the biggest guys in the world, neither was I. What would you tell these up-and-coming young players out there around this up-and-coming area, Brian, and also Michael, what advice would you give them if maybe they are a little bit undersized?
You know, I would just say whatever your dream is, whatever your desire is, whatever your goal is, to stick with it. Persistence and hard work in the end will win out whatever you're trying to achieve. I've seen that in my life. I certainly haven't always been the person that was picked first, but by any means, I think Brian would say the same thing. But, you know, work ethic, discipline, and stick, you know, persistence, getting yourself back up when you're not down, you know, are the lessons that you take from football that you can carry forward your whole life.
You know, Michael was, you know, a prime example of, you know, I mean, Michael's not the biggest guy in the world, but I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, and I love telling the story about him going on over to Tech and getting the opportunity to play and was in the mix, was going to start. And everything, and I was like, he was a fun football player. He was, and one of the things that I try and teach the kids that I coach when I get the opportunity to talk about Michael was, he wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the fastest, but he was one of the toughest. You know, tweaked his ankle, he got back up and played. You know, there's a difference in, you know, like the coach said all the time, difference between injured and hurt. You know,
right?
You got to pick yourself up and keep going. And you know, one of the things I remember when we all played together was, you know, there was no such thing as missing practice or quitting or patting myself on the back, get me out of the game. We didn't want to, you know, and I just, you know, hey, you want to be out there, make us take you out.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian, and good words for the young ones listening out there. Brian, we appreciate you joining us today. It's been an honor. Had a lot of fun with this one, knew that we would. And we're going to get you back in here at a later date. And Michael, appreciate you co-hosting here with me. And you guys out there in the upcoming, have an awesome day. And thanks for joining.